Hello, hello, we're live again. We're still alive. Yeah, get in there, right? Thank you so much for giving me your time. I really, really appreciate it. And it is an honor to be here with you today on this particular lunchtime event. Obviously, go live every Thursday, 12 o'clock, coming live to you on all of the social media channels. And the reason, I'm not going to break out into some, that we are here with you every Thursday at 12 o'clock lunchtime, sharing our lunch on the Thursday with your beautiful selves, is to help you to get the people within your business right. We're here to help you to get your people right. That's right, right? So we're here with our expertise. And by the way, what gives us the authority to come in and give you some guidance, some support, some talking and training over how to get the people element in your business right? What qualifies us and me to do that? So us as Cavill, we're in our seventh year of business. Yay! And we have been helping businesses and clients of all shapes and sizes, of all industries and all backgrounds across the UK, from Edinburgh to Birmingham to London to Brighton to Bristol. We're all over the show, literally we are, and helping businesses in multiple different kind of backgrounds and industries, which is fantastic, to help them with their people problems and to get the most out of their people in their business to make a difference. And the success we're having for our clients is really, really phenomenal. And I'm really, really astounded and happy with that. For me personally, I've been doing HR for 18 years. I've been doing that in one guise or another for quite a period of time. And I've been through multiple different areas, from NHS, so healthcare arena, to obviously within construction, to within retail, to within engineering, manufacturing, wherever the place may take me. So I've got a huge wealth of experience that I bring to the fore. I'm not trying to big myself up too much and blow my own trumpet, but you know what? I am going to blow my own trumpet because that's what qualifies me to talk about these particular bits and pieces that we're here to do with you today. So if you are watching along with us live, thank you so much for your time and for being here. And I hope that on my own here, I can keep you entertained, keep you engaged, eat your lunch, munch your lunch. I'm not judging. I can't see you. It's fine. But look, listen to us. Get something from this and come back to us. If you're watching this as a recording, thank you so much. I really appreciate your time and energy to come and join in with this particular process with us. And equally, if you are unable, for whatever reason, to be able to watch us live or to watch a recording, you can get us on our podcast, The HR Man, available wherever you get your podcasts. Yes, I've recorded that once or twice. So here we are. That's who we are. That's why we are here. And I want to kind of pick up straight away what our topic for today is. And as if by magic, there it is. It comes up eventually. I thought, oh my God, we're going to have a technical issue here on the line. And watching me try and solve an IT problem would not be entertaining for anybody in any way, shape or form, believe me. So five things guaranteed to harm your business. So I want to talk about five things. And by the way, before you mention it, there are a litany of things that could harm your business, right? From all sorts of perspectives and different backgrounds. So I already know that. I'm not saying the things that I'm bringing up today are the only things that will harm your business. But from our context, from what we're talking about and helping get people right, there are some significant things that can really damage your business. And to be honest with you, the people element to your business is so fundamental. It's so important. It's so impactive that in actual fact, it does, in our view, and you can disagree with me, leave it in the comments, it does, in our view, have the biggest possible impact and harm on your business. Why do I say that? Well, I say that because in actual fact, when you look at this, when you break this down, if you took the people element out of your business, if you took all the human beings, including you, out of the business, plop, off they go, How well does the business perform in sales, marketing, finance, and everything else? Pretty shit, because you need the people in your business to do the doing of any kind of capacity, of any kind of way. You can't sell, you can't market, you can't do your finance, you can't produce, you can't manufacture, you can't make, you can't create, you can't gift, you can't help, you can't provide a support, you can't provide a service without the human entities within your business. So the human aspect is senior to the other bits because you need people. We all need people in our businesses. We can't, goddammit, do it on our own. That we know. We know that for sure, right? I think we're on the same page there. So these are the five things from that perspective that can harm you and harm your business and that we must kind of take note of to try and avoid. That's the purpose of this. So if you're suffering from some of these, perhaps you're suffering from a number of these. And by the way, all of these, I could probably round off into one particular kind of heading. And that is, and I speak about this all the time. So if you watch this a lot and you watch us a lot, great. I love you. Thank you very much. Mwah, thank you. However, if you don't, one of the things that I talk about extensively is there's three areas. Wrong person, wrong role, wrong business. And they are in every single business we come into contact with. Bar none, they are. So they're the biggest issue. They cause the biggest problems in your business. And I'll just, on that note, just as, and it's a live session, but it's just chinged in my head. I've got another one to add on probably at the end, if I remember it by the time I get there. Okay, so at the end of the day, these will all be what we'd call in that section of things, the wrong person, wrong role, wrong business, wrong person, wrong role, wrong business. I say it time and time again. The other one is dead wood. All of those people that fall into that category are dead wood. Dead wood means they're holding your business back. They're actively poisonous. They're actively going to be, kind of sabotaging from within your business, even if they're not thinking or wanting to do that. Kind of a hint for what I'm going to talk about in a minute. But ultimately, these people, in one guise or another, will fit somewhere within your business. I have no doubt you will be able to pick one or two of these to come out and it will be able to demonstrate this in your business. By the way, as we go through, I'm looking for engagement on this as well, by the way. So if you are watching this, if you are leading this, listening to this back, if you are watching it back as a recording, then kudos to you, but participate. Let me know your thoughts on this. If I've missed any, you think that's a glaringly obvious one you've missed there, Mike, that you feel should be put in, then please do so. Perhaps you work in sales and you've got another perspective on it, of things that you want to add into that list. Put it in the comments below. Perhaps you come from finance and you want to put something in the list below. I'm sure there are things that in finance that people do that would also harm your business. For sure, there will be. I want to know, but equally, I want to know from those of you, what is it that's happening in your business around these areas without naming names, without dropping people in it, or without overly obviously criticizing your employer online? Let me know what's happening where you are. Let me know the situation where you are and how that fits in with any of these categories or in a new category. Or is it a category you want us to talk about in the future? So come on, engage, leave the comments below. So here we go. Five things guaranteed to harm your business. I feel like I'm doing a orchestra, whatever. Anyway, toxic people. Oh my God. Oh my effing God, right? I mean, these people, they exist everywhere. As though, and what they have is to really suck the air out of the room and just make everybody find it hard to breathe and to actually survive in that particular place. There are people that will naturally just bring everything down. And by the way, one thing I want to say as I go through this is people are the makeup of who they are over a period of time. So they are the makeup of their upbringing, their parents, their grandparents, their siblings, their teachers, their people they've had relationships with, university, you name it, where they've come to you today, they're a makeup of everything that's happened in the past. You cannot change them. You are never going to change those people in the short vacuum of time that you have with you in your business. They will still be who they are. And it is not for you to change them. And it is not that they are wrong for being who they are. In fact, they're absolutely 100% right for being who they are. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just sometimes those two things of who you are in the business and who they are don't align and match. Hence, wrong person, wrong role, wrong business. Now, again, toxic people can naturally just be that way. People that end up, you know, making relationships extremely difficult. People that sometimes fly under the radar and make things difficult behind other people's backs. Sometimes people that do it in front of your face and make life difficult. I think a perfect example of this, just as a story, we're supporting a client. I'm trying to think now, not to drop anyone in, but supporting a client at the moment in time. And unfortunately, this particular client's going through quite a difficult period of upheaval. So they're quite a big organization, but part of their business is closing. Boom, done, over and done with. Now, that's really sad, and it's a sad state of affairs that's led to that particular process. But it hasn't happened overnight. So the fact we're having to go through a horrible process of redundancies, which I will always say is the worst part of the job that I have, and I absolutely hate it, but it's part of the job. We are doing quite large-scale redundancies, I would say. So in that sense, things and the support we're having, that didn't always have to be the situation we'd end up in. So you can backtrack that over a period of time, probably going back more than a year, maybe two, I would say, or more, from what I know. And they've had not just one, but over a period of time, a grouping, several kind of people that have been toxic to the organization. People that have, instead of actively looking to contribute to make things better and get on board and make a difference, and make a difference to the lives of those people that they're caring for, which I'm not saying not doing that part of their job, but overall, if they would have focused on that rather than sabotaging from within, they might have had a better opportunity of surviving. They might have had a better opportunity of that service still being there. These people have had another agenda. They've had another kind of process they wanted to go down, which was to complain, to procrastinate, to bring things down from within, to get their point across and win an argument, rather than actually providing a service. Now, we always talk about, and you would have heard this in maybe a couple of other videos we've done previously, but we talk about how you need to align the people to the business, get the right people in. I mean, we did that last week about recruitment. Get the right people into your business. And it's not like a fail-safe process. It's completely fallible. And you can get the wrong people in, even though you do everything, tick all the boxes. And this is a perfect case of finding you've done that process and you have the wrong people in your business. And they're actively, whether they're doing it knowingly, I hope that's not the case, whether they're doing it unwittingly and they think they're doing the right thing, but in actual fact, they're having the wrong impact. That's what I want to come on in a minute. But if that is the case that's happening, then they are one way or another inadvertently sabotaging the business from within. That's what these people do. They are bringing it down from within. This is like a mini revolution that's going to negatively fuck up everybody. That's what that process is. By the way, another message, I swear a bit. I'm sorry. Again, I'm the makeup of who I am. And that's who I am, and I can't change. So it happens every now and then, just naturally, like, boom, out it comes. And I don't know. So like, there, and out my mouth. So if that offends you, I'm sorry, but that's who I am. So in terms of things, obviously, toxic people, I don't think toxic people personally, I come from a viewpoint that people never do things to deliberately have negative consequences in that particular way. I think people do things for negative consequences sometimes in their life in general, but in the grand scheme of things, people are trying to do something and trying to achieve something, whatever that something could be, but sometimes they do it in a really bad way and the counter kind of come to what they're trying to achieve. So in this sense, things, I think people, when you have them in the business, I think, you know, they are toxic. They will bring things down, but they don't knowingly go out there to do it in that deliberate way. again, all things I want to come back to, and again, on one more point at the end. But these people will just literally bring everything down with them. Your culture, they'll bring down the performance, productivity, potentially even your business. Ultimately, that's what could happen. The amount of times we've been providing support to businesses and you find out that all the people that you were really good at what they were doing, you wanted to keep, left because of these people. And now all you're left with is these people. It's the opposite to kind of what you wanted as a situation. So toxic people, you need to be able to identify them quickly and manage them quickly. That's another point we're going to come on to in a minute. But toxic people absolutely do that. I don't know if you've ever been to, I mean, I know for me, I have. And for me, actually, my story is a manager that I used to work with. And I used to travel up to London every day of the week, apart from Saturdays and Sundays, of course. So 5 days a week. I don't know why I said that. Traveling up to London, I had to catch 2 trains. I had to catch a bus and do a 15-minute walk to get to work, right? That was just the commitment I had to go through. I had to get a job. I had to have money coming in. So that was a sacrifice I had to make. It was exhausting. I was doing something like 4 to 4.5 hours kind of tops in terms of commute. And if the trains or anything went down, which happens frequently, then it would add to that kind of mix. And I'd find myself probably getting home, scoffing something down to eat, going back to work. And that was kind of my routine. And do you know what? It's difficult to do, but it's, you know, if you're going to somewhere that you're happy to be and you know you're making a difference in what you're trying to do and you're enjoying the work, then it kind of makes that a little bit easier. That was not my case with this point. So the toxic person in this example and scenario for me was absolutely my line manager. It made it just so hard. Literally the mannerisms as to how she would talk to you, the kind of weird little laugh thing that went on when they were trying to make a point and say something that was kind of not right, and they knew that, but trying to put the level of blame on you, which was happening to me, and do this weird little laugh. Oh, the whole thing was just completely bonkers. We had a high level of turnover in the team. And the weird thing was, every time we went out to these leaving dues, of which we had plenty, by the way, every time we went out to these leaving dues, she was completely different. She was like a completely different person. She was an absolute mindfuck bloody headache in the workplace. You couldn't work with her. Absolute nightmare to work with. So for example, go to like these big meetings, and obviously anything that's gone wrong, they come back, be placed out as blame to everybody else. When actually there was quite a lot of responsibility on this person for what they were doing that wasn't happening. There'd be times when I'd be there and they'd be leaving early and all that sort of stuff was going on. It was just horrendous how it all kept coming back. And there was a lot of pressure that went on everyone else, and that's why they dissipated and went. And her style was just bonkers. So anyway, the issue was she was completely different. And this is what coined our phrase about the management zombie, where you get this alternative kind of persona that you think you've got to adopt to be able to manage people. But she was actually really toxic. She was just really toxic. You couldn't retain staff. It was hard to get the job done because you were lacking the staff. Every time you were going to a meeting or anything, it was just a complete nightmare because you were thinking, what's going to come out of this? Where's it going to go? What's going to happen? What does it mean? What impact? All these things were going to come out of the woodwork, right? And you're just like, this is just a nightmare. And I hated every single freaking minute of it. And I wanted to get out of there as quickly as I possibly could. I loved the project. I loved the people I was working with. I liked the work I was doing, but they were just toxic in what they were doing. And it was bringing everything down around them. Our client's case, an example there, if there would have been things done differently about those people to eradicate the wrong person from the wrong roles in the wrong business out of that business, I dare say we wouldn't have been required to come in and help them do mass redundancies. But it's difficult for people to see that. Okay, when they're in that, they are who they are. It's not their fault for being that way. You've got to take them out of it. Someone has to step up and manage that. But toxic people, and keeping them in your business for too long, they will change everything, including your culture. and will make that absolutely a headache for you.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to the podcast at the moment in time. I just want to take a brief second, if you're okay with that, from your time in this podcast, just really, really quickly, because we have a great offer to get a free, a free contract and employment template for you and your business. To get your hands onto a free copy of that, just go across to inquiry.cavillhr.co.uk. That's inquiry.cavillhr.co.uk. Fill in your details on there and you'll be able to get your access to the free employment contract template you can start using for your staff with the safety, with the security. You know that the contract that you're using now today for your teams, for your business, for your new staff is legally compliant with what you need to have. Remember, you have to give these contracts by law to people on the day or by the day they start. You don't have grace periods anymore. So having these templates in place, I can't tell you how much it takes away so much hassle from you and your business in making sure you've got these things in place for when your new starters are starting work for you. Go ahead, get your copy now. Let's get back to the podcast. Have a great time, everyone.
The next one for me, keeping on focus here, guys. So one of the things we always train upon in when we bounce on board is how to work things backwards. So how to align your people, your human assets, to what the business is trying to achieve. You've got to be able to get that messaging out. You've got to be able to line everything up. You've got to get your ducks in a row. It is difficult. In fact, I would go so far as to say it is almost impossible, improbable, that I would be able to achieve what I'm meant to do in my role and the outcomes and outputs for the organization as a whole, as to how I link into it, if I don't know what it is meant to be. So for example, I just want to elaborate there briefly. So if I go into an organization and I ask people, if I came into your business and I sat down with your staff and I asked them, what do you do? I would hazard a guess that a large proportion of the time, certainly, that people would probably tell me what their job title is. Or they'll tell me some functions of what they do on their job description, something along those sort of lines. Be one of those things, or a mishmash of the two. Yeah, so like I'm a IT wizard thing person. And I just help with the IT functions, whoever it is. That would be kind of what they would tell me. That for me is a first sign that there is a lack of clarity in that organization. Ultimately, that person should know how what they do on a daily basis contributes to the overall kind of projects, outputs, and functions of the organization. So if I come in and they say, well, I'm just the IT wizard, then they've not got that clarity to know what does the IT wizard actually contribute to this? What are you actually doing? And the reality is they could be saying, well, I'm helping the business to function correctly, to help customers. Without the IT, they can't support anybody. The same way as I say, without the people in your business, you can't really do very much. So I mean, at the end of the day, you've got to have some kind of linear clarity back to people as to what am I doing on a daily basis and how does it move dial in any way? How am I contributing? So again, another great story. I want to know this one is true. So I don't want anyone to confirm to me this is made up because I like it in my mind. I feel that it was real, but I don't know if it is. But it's a lovely story, regardless of whether it is or whether it isn't. And this story goes that when the rocket was about to be launched to allow man to walk on the moon, what was that Apollo 11? So when that was about to be launched, the President of the United States visited the launch site and wanted to have a look around the night before. And as he went there, obviously it's dark, it's the night before. And if you've ever been to Florida, by the way, you've ever seen like the Kennedy Space Center, they've got huge, like, I don't know, like, I want to say, the type of bad description, that they transport the rockets to the launch site on. And just these tractor type things are massive. I mean, they're huge beyond comparison. So he went up and he asked the gentleman, he said, "What? Why are you sweeping the road? What is it you're doing?" So not maybe in an interrogation case, I just made this up. "What are you doing here?" He probably didn't do that. Probably just as politicians do when I'm what it was that he was doing. And his response was, "I'm helping to put man on the moon." And for me, that is exactly what I'm talking about in this case and scenario when it comes to clarity. He's sweeping a road. But if he doesn't keep that road clean, the tractor thing can't take the rocket to the launch site. The rocket doesn't go on the moon. Ultimately, what he is helping to put man on the moon, no matter how big or small the role may be in the task he's doing, it links into that bigger picture. So for you, your business, your staff, you want to be able to get that clarity. You want to be able to link this stuff back to what they're doing. So when you do go and ask your staff, look, you know, what is it you do? Get a job description or job title thrown back at you, because realistically that just shows that the person doesn't really know what they do in terms of the overall functionality and how it links into the business, what difference it actually makes. Or worse yet, perhaps they don't give a shit. So they're just there for the 9 to 5. I come in, I rock up, turn my laptop on or computer, and boom, I'm done at 5 o'clock and I go home. And that's the worst kind of person you want as well. So a lack of clarity means that you've got no ability to get everybody within your teams driving in the same direction. So if I'm just turning up and I'm just being the IT wizard, well, how do I cross-correlate that and work alongside my other partners who are working in different teams who aren't IT wizards? So we all interconnect to provide the same thing. And if that is the case, then you've got a huge amount of disconnect within your business. And that's a massive problem. And that's something you don't want. So lack of clarity is going to be a big issue and will definitely harm your business if that's there. And there are easy ways and means to correct that in your business at the same time. And the next one is poor management. Well, management is poor performance, but poor management. So all these other things we've spoken about, dead wood, wrong person, wrong role, wrong business, people, lack of clarity. We're going to have some other stuff that will come up in a minute in time as well. Poor management is fundamentally what's enabling this to take place. Poor management is an enabler is an enabler that helps these sort of things to take place and stay there, to stay in place. They're the things that are facilitating it to exist where it shouldn't. And the reason that this happens is, and a lot of the time, the reason that it happens, and if we're honest to God about it, is because individuals just plain old don't like conflict. And I've got to be honest with you, you've got to be kind of crazy and insane if you do like conflict. So I get it. I do. But unfortunately, you can't avoid confrontation all the time. It's just not going to be possible. It's going to exist. You're going to have to manage it. You've got to deal with it. So as a manager, part of your role, whether you like it or not, and this is one thing things I hate, by the way, personally, if you're a manager, part of your job is probably going to be to manage people. The higher up the scale you go, the higher up the echelons of the organization you reach, the less likelihood it is that you're going to be doing the functionality of the activities, the doing, the more you're going to be doing of managing people. So the higher up that pyramid you head, the more people management you get. That's the simple fact of it. And what tends to happen is that sometimes you get managers that go up that scale that have never had any aspiration to ever manage people. And that's fine. A lot of people don't. But it ends up being part of what you have to do. And again, another great example of this is working in the NHS. Is you get individuals that will go through training and what have you for being a relevant in today's kind of climate with all the strikes and everything else. So if I go through my training to be a nurse, and I suddenly go from band two to a qualified nurse, band five, nurses, if you're watching, you will know in the NHS what I'm talking about right now. Now, if I have aspirations, which you bloody well want people who've got aspirations, to be honest, that's what we want. So aspirational people working in your business, fan-dabby-dozy, they then go ahead and they try and secure, obviously, a promotion to be a senior nurse. Well, obviously, there's a big difference between a senior nurse and a nurse. And the training, if you are a nurse, again, I've not got monopoly on opinions here, let me know in the comments, but if you are a nurse, the part of your training is not managing people. Your training is obviously going to be about saving people's lives, about being a nurse and everything else. 100% what you should be doing. But there is nothing in there that when you get promoted, how you manage people. You get up to that standard and you still got the mentality of being a nurse. But added to that, you've now got to manage people. And it takes time. And it takes energy. And it takes work. And it's not, you know, a lot of the time when people get to that stage, like, I didn't ask to manage people. I just wanted to get promoted and do more of what I was doing. And that's reality. Because then you go further up that chain, all the way up to like a patron or something along those sort of lines. And the more you are managing process, the more you are about managing people. And that's what you end up getting involved in. And that's the way of life. So at the end of the day, poor management is something that's a major issue. In fact, like I said, it's an enabler. All these things exist in a business because of poor management. You could trail that turn of breadcrumbs back. And to be clear on this, because I'm not going to back away from the confrontation, I'm going to confront confrontation here for a second. If you are a manager right now watching this, or you are a business owner and you're watching this, and you have these things in your business, and like I said, all businesses to a degree have the wrong person, wrong role, wrong business, okay? Then you are the person that's managing that. You are ultimately the person that is responsible for allowing these things into your business or into your team. You have allowed that to happen. So that would you pay on your own poor management. I'm not doing that to pick on people, but I'm trying to emphasize the point that this is something that exists at all levels. And you, me as well, we are not disincluded from that, but it's how you progress past that and what you do about it that really, really matters. So in terms of that, what you want to know is that, can you get the management? Can you get a grip of that particular process to take control and manage those toxic people, to give more clarity back to the people in your business, to give the linear function between what they're doing in their role and how that impacts on the day-to-day of the business and drives that forward? Can they take that control? Or are you finding that you have managers, which again happens a lot, that rather than tackle that problem, they put it under the rug, they reduce, rather than manage performance, perhaps they reduce the level of what's required in the role to meet the person, rather than lifting the person up to meet the requirements of the role. That's another common form of poor management. Again, I would say exactly the same thing as the top people in the business. They don't do it by design to go out there and impact negatively. They're doing it because they think they're doing the right thing, but they're doing it in the wrong way that harms your business. Massive one. Massive, massive, massive one for me. And then, obviously, shit relationships. If you've watched any videos we've done recently, we talk about relationships quite a lot as well, so I will emphasize that. There'll be a multitude of other videos we've done on relationships. But again, one of my biggest bugbears is going and talking to managers and asking them what relationship they have with staff. And relationship is a dirty word. Relationship is not a dirty word. Relationship is the operating system. It's the system in which we are built upon as human beings. Everything is about relationships with humans. Whether it's your local butchers, whether it's your friends, whether it's acquaintances you meet down the pub, whether it's the people you go to with on a Saturday or a Sunday, whether it's your mum, your dad, your sister, your brother, your wife, your husband. It doesn't matter. Everything from person to person is built on a relationship. You get good relationships, you get bad relationships, how you get toxic relationships too, right? Relationships are important in the business. Don't value relationships, then you're not valuing the people. And that's a massive problem. And that will link back to poor management. But it doesn't just stay between staff and managers. This is something that extends from people to people, humans to humans. You know, that's what we're talking about, people in your team. If you have poor relationships in your team, the example I gave about the venue that we're closing down at the moment, making mass redundancies, huge problem with relationships. Yeah? From managers to staff, there are problems with, you know, quite clearly, that's going to harm the business. If you can't hold a decent relationship between each other, then how are you going to manage the business? How are people going to come together as a team? I mean, can you imagine if you had a football team and that football team, no one got along with each other, or a couple of people had, Was it Newcastle had two players? Was it Lee Bowyer and someone else? Eric Dyer, I think it was. Oh my God, I can't believe I just remember that. That's going into my credit score there. So I remember watching that, and two players on the same team were fighting with each other. What chance does that team have of winning a bloody football game if its own players are fighting with each other, never mind the opposition? The opposition's just sitting there going, this is amazing. I can't believe this. This is amazing, right? It's a joke. If you're having that happening in your business, in your teams, with your managers and what have you, how on earth are you going to succeed? The relationships are so important. I would say, as well as shit relationships, you could say not valuing relationships is equally bad and will harm your business. We all work on that as our operating system. If you just imagine, this is the other thing. Your relationship with your sister, if you have a sister or brother, will not be the same as the relationship you'd have with your friends. I think we'd agree with that, right? The relationship you have with your significant other, your wife or your husband, will not be the same as the relationship you have with your mum and your dad, or your nan, or your nans, or your granddads, right? They're not the same. They're different. And every relationship is different because every person is different. And that will be the same in business. All those relationships, you need to have those intertwined. That's why it's so important to get the right person into your team, because you get the wrong person in, like a toxic person, and it's going to screw your relationships up. And it's going to put so much pressure on that process. That's why it's so important to manage it quickly. Having shit relationships or not valuing relationships is going to absolutely harm you and your business in that process. And then, as if that wasn't enough, he brings up culture. Oh my God, it's that word. Yes, I know. Fluffy stuff, Mike. No, not really. Misunderstood stuff. Culture is important. It's your environment. Again, I bring it up all the time. Five reasons people will come and work for you. Take one off the table. Money leaves you with four. Environment is normally one of them other four for most people. Most commonly, who am I working with? How will I fit in? How will I feel? What's it like? Do people get along? Do you have toxic people there? Do you have the zombie managers or anything like that sort of stuff? They probably wouldn't use that language because, hey, that's me. But do you know what? That's the sort of things they'll be thinking about. Culture is important. And quite simply, I would say if you have toxic people, if you have a lack of clarity, then most certainly you have some poor management. If you have some poor management, you might, but not always, but you might have some shit relationships. You might, but not always, not reach into the value of the relationships. And if you have any of those things in play, you probably don't. You may think you do, but reality is you probably don't have control of your culture, of the identity within your business. So when people work with you, you don't have any control of it. I used to work in a very hospital. So we were doing work for them. And one of the common themes they had there was, it's a massive team. I mean, obviously, it's an NHS organisation, they're big anyway, really big, well-known one in London. And they had an IT team, and no word of a lie. I mean, this is not making any of this shit up, right? No word of a lie. You would hire somebody new, and when they come and start with you, a new person, I mean, you all know what it's like on your first day at school, first day at work, right? Come, and you sit next to you, you get introduced, manager will say, this is John, John, this is Mike. Mike, there's the toilet, there's a fire escape, and you know, that's it. Here's your folder, here's your login details, your email. Goodbye, have a nice life. That's kind of hurt, pretty much. And then you sit next to that person turns around and you says, Mike, why did you come work here? What are you doing? What were you thinking of? And you think to yourself, that's the welcome. You're making it sound like we've just come into the third level of hell. Yeah, why did you do this? You volunteered to come and work here, you insane. Like, it doesn't sell things. And the reason that was happening was because they had toxic people. They lacked clarity for sure. They had a huge amount of poor management that was going on at the time. So that was definitely there. No, relationships weren't valued. And relationships could be and were in some cases particularly shit. And they had zero control over that culture. Zero control. The people that were toxic, the very people you didn't want in the business, they were driving the culture. It was their culture. Like I've always said, culture doesn't exist. There is no vacuum on this. If you don't fill it in, have some predetermined design around it, someone else will do. And if you don't have control of it, someone else has put that blueprint in, not you, your business, you're the manager, your team, and you have no control of it. The other one is that you can have, and again, another client we have, they have multiple teams within their business. Each of them are almost like their own different entities. Right? It's like they've got four or five of them. And depending on which team you're in, the culture you're going to come up against. You can have completely, entirely different cultures, values, and feels all within the same business. It's ridiculous. And when you, as a person going into that, and you move to one or the other, oh, I don't know, I don't want to work over there. Well, yeah, I'd love to go and work with them, but I don't know where I am right now. I mean, what the hell kind of connectivity does that make for your business? How are you ever going to have that cohesion? How are you ever going to retain people if potentially you can see not only is the grass greener, the grass is greener just over there to another room or another office within the same business. What am I doing here? This is awful work in here, right? People will drive your culture. You can have a predetermined kind of process of what culture you want to inspire and bring and work around building that rather than letting it to run rampant to the people that are toxic or to the people that are just poor at managing things or for the sake of the fact that no one gives a shit about the relationships. There is some real big things that you can make as a difference here to this. But all of these, so whether it's toxic people, whether it's a lack of clarity, linking up the role that the people are doing to the direction of the business and the functionality of what you're trying to achieve, whether it's just shit poor management that's not taking responsibility and doing what it's meant to do to eradicate these people from the business, and all obviously having shit relationships or not having relationships contribute to a poor culture, which will all contribute to really harming your business. It's a guarantee that when you have these things, and like there's a reason why cycle. It wasn't developed by me. I didn't cycle. I wish I was clever enough to have done that. This is just the number of businesses now we've dealt with over time, time and time again. It just naturally is the same process. We use it now because we've identified it. Because after doing it so many times, you can see that that's there. But it's there. And the very first part you have to deal with is dealing with toxic people. The dead wood. The wrong person in the wrong role in the wrong business. It's there all the time. Every business, before we can do anything that makes any difference to that company, we have to eradicate these people and manage them. So for you guys, what I would say is that should be one of your first areas of focus, because before you can do any change that's going to have an impact from a staffing perspective in your business, you need to make sure you're getting on top of these things. Because whatever you do with these people in place is going to fail. It will not work because they will bring it down because it doesn't fit with them. I just want to be clear. What I'm saying is these people rule the roost in your business. They are subliminally calling the shots from afar. They're the backseat drivers. They're determining how the driver's going to drive. Yeah, mum. Right? Oh my God, I'm going to die. But they're the people that will be driving your business, not you. So it doesn't matter what you bring on board. If it doesn't meet with what they like, what they want, it's going to get shot down. And maybe not immediately, but eventually. And you're going to have a real hard slog and hard trouble to get things working. It will absolutely harm your business. Everybody, thank you so much. Thank you for your time on a Thursday again, sacrificing your lunch or your time to come back and watch this recording, or indeed your time whilst you're doing whatever you do whilst you're listening to your podcast. I say a massive thank you. As always, please, I heed you. Leave comments, interact with us, engage with us, tell us what's happening for you, tell us what's important to you. If you'd like to come on and do a live with me and go through the problems that you're currently experiencing for free, let me know. Put it in the comments. Let's go through it, everyone. Take care. Goodbye.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to the podcast at the moment in time. I just want to take a brief second, if you're okay with that, from your time in this podcast, just really, really quickly, because we have a great offer to get a free, yeah, you heard that, a free contracting employment template for you and your business. To get your hands onto a free copy of that, just go across to inquiry.cavillhr.co.uk. That's inquiry.cavillhr.co.uk. Fill in your details on there and you'll be able to get your access to the free employment contract template you can start using for your staff with the safety, with the security. You know that the contract that you're using now today for your teams, for your business, for your new staff is legally compliant with what you need to have. Remember, you have to give these contracts by law to people on the day or by the day they start. You don't have grace periods anymore. So having these templates in place, I can't tell you how much it takes away so much hassle from you and your business in making sure you've got these things in place for when your new starters are starting work for you. Go ahead, get your copy now. Let's get back to the podcast. Have a great time, everyone.